Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. The parties are readying themselves for the European elections this Thursday, and the opinion polls are showing that the Brexit Party is still leading the charge. After interviewing Nigel Farage last week, Andrew Marr turned to his main opponent, Jeremy Corbyn, to shed some light on Labour's Brexit policy.
I'm just saying that out there, an awful lot of people don't understand really whether Brexit is Labour is a pro-Brexit party or an anti-Brexit party.
Can I explain, before you bring Jess into it, that the Labour supporters voted both Leave and Remain. And every other party in this European election is appealing to either one side or the other, defining everybody on 2016. We're not. We're defining people as hopefully supporters of us, but also people that have common problems, however they voted. The levels of poverty in Remain and Leave areas are very similar. The levels of child poverty are mainly in both areas. I think we have to be responsible about this and appeal to people all across those views. It's yourself and the British media that are obsessed with defining everybody by how they voted 3 years ago.
But this is very much a European election about Brexit. Jess Phillips, I'm going to bring her in now. She says the Labour Party need to genuinely decide whether it's a party that backs Brexit or a party that doesn't back Brexit. We haven't had a clear message. And she's right.
No, she's not right, because she fought the last general election just like I did on a manifesto that said we respect the result of the referendum and we would seek to negotiate the best deal we could with Europe and then be prepared to put that to a public vote. And that is exactly what the position is.
Marr went on to speak to the International Development Secretary, Rory Stewart. Stewart was optimistic that getting a withdrawal agreement through Parliament was still on the cards, despite the breakdown in talks between Labour and the government this week.
Although we've got closer and closer to getting the Brexit deal through, we haven't managed to do it. But the answer ultimately has to lie in Parliament. I mean, logically. I don't think there are some people out there suggesting that somehow if they suddenly went to Brussels, they'd get a completely different deal out of Brussels. And there are other people suggesting there's this great thing called no deal, which in fact isn't a thing. It's not a destination. It's a failure to reach a destination. So we're in the territory of a deal. And if we're in the territory of a deal, where we need to focus is Parliament, and particularly getting Labour votes across. Now, maybe not Jeremy Corbyn's vote, but there are many other moderate, sensible Labour MPs.
But Change UK's lead spokesman, Chuka Amuna, argued that an entirely different course of action was needed right away.
I actually think things are moving very, very fast indeed, just compared to when you were on air last week. And I've come to the view that we are now at a point where we are going to need to revoke Article 50. And let me explain to you why. There are two very important things that have happened. First of all, at the beginning of these European election campaigns, we had time to provide for a people's vote on what happens on Brexit, which would take at least 5 to 6 months. We now no longer have the time to do that by the 31st of October, when we are due to crash out. So we need to stop the clock to allow that to happen. And the second thing is an important thing that happened since your show last week, which is that the Prime Minister announced she will be bringing the withdrawal agreement back in the week of the 3rd of June. And if she fails to get it through, which is almost certain she will not get it through, then she's setting out a timetable for her departure. And what you see now are contenders for the Conservative Party leadership falling over themselves to say they will take us out, come what may, in October without a deal. So now, faced with that, no deal and revocation, you have got to revoke.
You are saying, under all circumstances now, revoke Article 50.
It's the only way.
Because
it's the only way.
17.4 million people will be outraged by that. It's exactly what they feared, is that they vote for one thing and it is stolen by the Westminster class.
Well, I don't believe that is the case, and I tell you why. Because at the moment, as I said, the way to resolve this impasse is to refer it back to the people. I don't see how you can thwart the will of the people if they get the final say.
However, the Brexit Secretary Steve Barclay insisted to Sophie Ridge that a no-deal Brexit remained a possibility.
So is that your preferred option then? If the deal doesn't get through, you'd prefer to leave with no deal?
Well, I've always said that to revoke the biggest democratic decision in our history would be disastrous. I think it would be fundamentally wrong. And so whilst I've always been clear with my colleagues that I think a no-deal outcome is disruptive, I think there'd be clear concerns in community like this around the consequence of no deal. But if Parliament won't back a deal, then it needs to confront that reality. And I do think we then, in that instance, need to bring forward our preparations to mitigate no deal, because that will need to use the additional time we have. And we will need to move at pace to do so.
Has it been a bit of a frustration to you that those preparations for no deal have not been continuing apace, as you put it?
Well, there's a huge amount being done in government. My department has been at the heart of that in terms of preparing for no deal. Now, what's worth remembering
is... Has it been taken seriously enough, do you think?
Well, we need to do more and use the time that we have, the additional time we have, to prepare further. But it's worth remembering that part of the challenge is the fact that a lot of that preparation is with third parties. It's with third parties in terms of businesses or with other member states. And part of the difficulty has been that Parliament has voted to take no deal off the table, and therefore, understandably, businesses then question whether it is worth preparing for something if they think that Parliament
is
going to stop
it. You need money from the Chancellor as well, don't you?
Well, the Chancellor has allocated money. The issue is that there is no guarantee that the EU27 will grant an extension. That is in a UK decision on the 31st of October, so that would be a matter for the EU. So we do need to prepare for no deal and ensure that we use the time we have to mitigate any disruption as best we can.
Ridge asked the Defence Minister, Tobias Elwood, whether he was considering throwing his hat into the ring when Theresa May steps down as Prime Minister.
Am I going to run?
Straight question, straight answer.
And I'll give you a straight answer. I don't have the rank and I don't have the experience. I'm not going to run. And this isn't a TV reality contest. Your introduction just prompted me to think, how does it look to the nation when we've just spoken on the biggest issue, Brexit? And take Brexit. If this was Brexit, or the decision of Brexit, and you remove it from the table, you actually have a nation where the economy is going well, better than Japan, better than Germany. From climate change, best in the G20, inflation targets under control, employment doing really well. All of that is brilliant. Put Brexit back on the table and it all disappears. What we are doing to Britain, our reputation, is actually being affected by Brexit. Look at the polls, not from here, but the results of the local elections.
The leadership absolutely matters when it comes to Brexit, because who is the next leader of the Conservative Party is going to take the UK potentially in very different directions when it comes to Brexit. So who would you like to see as the next leader?
Let's have some loyalty, let's have some commitment, let's have some discipline in focusing on the one thing, pointing at my glass here, the one thing that we need to get across the line, which is Brexit. The idea that we jump ahead and start toying around who should be the leader, and then everybody, you talk about the Grand National. I mean, I do urge my colleagues to think, why are they putting their name forward? Is it to raise their own profile? And some colleagues as well are changing their views in order to woo our membership to raise their profile as well. This is getting things in the wrong order. Our focus must be to get Brexit across the line, get that out the way, so we can then have a bigger, wider debate as to how we should earn the respect of the nation to be a one-nation progressive party, centre-right, fiscally responsible, able to take the nation forward, and most importantly, engage with a younger generation, which we're failing to do.
Anna Soubry found herself faced with an embarrassing quote from Rachel Johnson, one of Change UK's lead MEP candidates.
Have a little look at what Rachel Johnson said. She's your top candidate in the South West, and she said, Change UK is a terrible name. I'm jumping on another sinking ship with Change UK. We hope it's not sinking, but it's not riding the ocean waves. I think it will be a slow build, a reverse Macron.
Well, look, I can't speak for Rachel. I mean, she is a Johnson. They have a bit of a history of saying stuff. I tell you what, though, I'd rather have her than Boris.
It's not very helpful, though, saying
well,
it's a sinking ship.
You know, look, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I mean, the most important thing is our strong message. And that is what voters absolutely know and understand. We believe in a people's vote. We believe in remaining in the European Union. We believe the best deal is the current deal that we have with the European Union. And on that, she and I, and in fact everybody else, unlike any other party, are absolutely agreed.
And finally, UKIP leader Gerald Batten has told Sophie Ridge of his intentions if the party does not perform well in the European elections.
If you lose your seat in the European elections, will you quit?
I think if I lost my seat in London, it would be untenable for me to continue as leader. But I won't make a decision about what I'm going to do until after the European elections, because I'm getting a lot of people from within the party overwhelming saying to me, whatever the result is, they want me to continue. But I will base my decision on the outcome of the European elections and how I feel afterwards.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And we also have a special offer. You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for just £12, and you'll receive a free Amazon voucher worth £20. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.